Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I look around when I go to sporting events. I look around, I see who's in the crowd, I see who's there. And I got to tell you, a few years ago when Michael Schill came on the scene as the president at the University of Oregon, I noticed that he was there. He was engaged, he was at women's basketball games, he was at men's basketball games, he was at football games, he's down on the court or the field when it comes to senior day, and now he's on this radio show. Where are you right now? Where are you doing this interview from?
John, I'm in my office at the University of Oregon, Johnson Hall.
What is that like? Have you spent a lot of time there, or are you doing the remote working like a lot of people?
So I come in probably 2 or 3 days a week, and it's a good change of scene. I also like seeing people. I'm still sort of an analog guy, and I like to meet people face-to-face. It's obviously a lot harder in the era of COVID-19. You've got to wear masks. Got to be socially distanced, but we're observing all the safety rules, and so I do come down here relatively frequently.
I keep saying to people, these are weird times. I'm doing the show from a home studio, and the whole everybody's world has been tipped upside down. As presidents and chancellors, you guys are meeting. You're talking about football. Can you take us through that process that brought you guys to the point of voting yesterday?
Sure. And let me start by saying it's not just football. So, it's all competition in the fall. So, you know, we're dealing with volleyball, soccer, track, and all, you know, we focus on football, but all of these athletes are affected and all the coaches are affected. So, you know, we've been talking about this for a while since COVID-19 started and, you know, foremost in our minds was, could we protect the safety of our students and go forward with a season in all of these sports? And then obviously football, because the contact is greater, was top of mind. And so we talked about it. We've been meeting very frequently. A lot of consensus among the presidents that if we couldn't do this safely, we weren't going to do it. And we ultimately, you know, had several meetings over the past few weeks as more and more studies were coming, becoming available. And as the date was starting, coming close for contact practice. And we just decided, this week that we could continue saying it's going to be later, it's going to be later, it's going to be later. But things were not looking good. And we wanted there to be some certainty. We didn't think it was fair to our fans, to our students, to our coaches, to just keep stringing things along. And so what we did was we postponed the seasons, and I'm saying postpone in emphasis because we did not cancel the season, but we said we're not going to do competition in the fall, and we're going to be shooting for the spring.
It's being pitted, in some circles as, hey, the players, the coaches, the ADs really want to play. The academics, they got some medical information that made them to say, hey, we can't safely play. I don't think that that's quite accurate because I've talked to 3 ADs this morning who all sort of said that they supported the decision. Can you speak to that a little bit, sort of the input you got and others got and how that all came into the room?
Sure. So we've been having our meetings. We've involved the ADs in our meetings. And so the Zoom was like multiplied by a factor of 2 or 3 with everybody up on the screen. And we wanted to hear every meeting the ADs told us what they thought. We also have a medical advisory committee, which was advising us doctors and health professionals from every school. We've been talking with students. As you know, the students, there were a couple petition groups at the same time. One group was concerned and wanted the ability to opt out. Another group wanted to play. So I don't think any of, I don't think there was a monolithic view among the students what to do. But I will say, in the room, when we made the decision, or in the Zoom when we made the decision, it was unanimous. I mean, it was there was no disagreement at all. This was the right thing to do, that we needed to make every decision based upon health and safety. And there was just too much uncertainty and too many questions that remained to be answered. And the trend lines were not going in the right direction. And so the ADs were with us, and the it was unanimous. And, you know, that what we would do is postpone the season. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, so we had, there was a study that you mentioned, which was showing some heart abnormalities in people with COVID-19. That was, that did affect the view, certainly of the medical advisory board. It wasn't definitive one way or the other. These were early studies. But you also have to understand, which I'm sure you do, that, you know, we're spread out over five, you know, states, and some of the in some states there we don't have the permission to even practice to have contact practicing. So you know, we have to understand that, and you know, if we're going to do this responsibly, or if we were to do this responsibly, we would have to do a level of testing, both COVID-19 testing, but also potentially cardio MRIs that we just weren't sure we had the capacity to do. So, and indeed on the, you know, we don't know what the testing resources are going to be, you know, if we have to do very, very frequent testing over the course of the whole quarter or the whole season. So we just decided that, you know, out of an abundance of caution, that we would announce that we were going to postpone the season. And I'll say one other thing, you know, we didn't do this lightly. These are students' lives, but they're our students, right? They have practiced years and years to be able to play in the Pac-12. And then this is volleyball, this is soccer, this is track, this is football. And they were dreaming of this, and we know they were dreaming of this. So this was not, these decisions were not taken lightly. And the focus needs to be on our students and supporting our students. And they remain our students. And we're going to continue supporting them this quarter and for some schools semester. And, you know, they're going to get a great education. We're going to support them. They're going to be able to take advantage of services that we have. So it's not like we're sort of washing our hands and say, okay, we're postponed. These are our students, and we care about them.
Michael Schill is our guest. He's the president of the University of Oregon. He's also the chair of the Pac-12 CEO group. The idea of a spring schedule, you're seriously considering this. Is it feasible? What questions do you have about the spring?
So I think that there's a number of questions. Obviously, first and foremost is the same question we had for this quarter. What's the track of the virus? Whether there is sufficient testing in the United States and in each of our states, what's the trajectory in each of the states, whether there's treatments or vaccines. So all of that is the background. But then let's assume that we're in the same situation that we're in now, but the incidence of the disease is less, or we have a sufficient testing. Then you've got issues which are more logistical issues. One is, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to have a spring or winter season, and then the season coming up in the fall of 2021. Is that too much for the students? So if health and safety is our number one guide, we're not going to postpone the season because of COVID-19 and then jeopardize the students by making them be in a season that's too many games in a particular 12-month period. So that's an issue. Another issue is television and you know, whether the ESPN, Fox, whether they can accommodate us. So that's going to be an issue. And I'm sure that, you know, if you're the Pac-12 administrators, you're going to have a list that is 20 times longer. But to be honest, we haven't really started working through that yet. You know, that is where we're going to turn now, to be thinking about what we can do and to be nimble and always recognize, I mean, this is the thing, the virus, I mean, we sort of make the virus, we give it human capability. It has eluded us every step of the way, and I mean us being the United States. And we've done things that have made it easier for the virus to elude us. But what we need to do and understand is we have to be nimble. We have to constantly be open to saying that we made it, you know, that we have to change our plans. And the most important thing is we have to make decisions based upon science, based upon facts, and based upon an overriding purpose that we care about our student athletes and we want them to succeed both academically as well as on the playing field.
I thought it was interesting because for decades I've heard people say, these are student athletes, these are student, and they use that term, and then I look and I don't see, by and large, a lot of cases where they're truly treated like they are students. But yesterday, I thought it was punctuated that these are not professional athletes. These are student athletes. Was that part of your thinking or the group's thinking as you guys discussed it?
Well, if they're professionals and they decided they wanted to play, we generally respect adult decisions. You know, we give them the autonomy to decide what they want. These are students, right? We still put their parents and trust them to our care, and we're going to be very careful about them. In addition, you know, you can take the NFL and you can take basketball and you can bubble people up and put them in Florida. We can't do that, right? I mean, these students—they're students. They're going to class, right? They're part of a university. We can't just put people in, you know, in plastic wrap. That's not who we are. It's not what we are. And so, so we have to understand that. And so, and that is always first and foremost in our minds. And you know, that's a value. And sometimes, you know, we. People roll their eyes when we talk about the special values of the Pac-12. But it's really true. We feel, and I can tell you, the presidents in that room, along with the commissioner, when we talk about the Pac-12, we are proud that we are a commission, or we are a conference that is dedicated to the welfare of the students, but also dedicated to the academic vision of student athletes. And I can tell you, it's sincere. It's not cynical, that we truly believe that we are different and that we are, and that we want to uphold the highest values. We were really delighted, when the Big Ten went along with us. We've been in conversations about this for a better part of a week, because many of the same type of schools in the Big Ten, are Pac-12 type schools. And we both are very, very concerned about student welfare. And it's not to cast dispersions on the other conferences. They'll do what they need to do, and they have. I'm sure they also care deeply about their students. But Pac-12, I can speak for us: student safety, student success, graduation, all of those things are top of mind.
Michael Schill is with us, University of Oregon president. I watched you become and enjoy being a sports fan at different points in the last couple of years. I saw you at the Ducks women's basketball games. As a fan, how disappointed were you that you didn't get to see Sabrina Ionescu and Ruthie Hebert compete for a Final Four?
I was devastated. I mean, I went to every women's game. I my tickets. I was all ready to go to, you know, watch them go all the way. I think that, like everybody, I would have loved to have seen that. And but I know I was also very heartened by the way that they took the setback, and I'm excited but watching them on TV in their professional roles. And I was disappointed about that the men didn't go forward in basketball, both because I enjoy watching the men's basketball team, but also the other sports in the spring were canceled. I care about the students, so I was very unhappy. And as a fan, when I came to the University of Oregon, I was not a fan. Really, I came from the University of Chicago, which, you know, the University of Chicago is probably most famous with winning the first Heisman Trophy and then kicking the football team off campus 3 years later. And so we did not have a big football presence or athletic presence. And I'm a convert. I think that if you do athletics correctly in higher education, you can have this wonderful meshing of the academic and the sports and athletics, and they can strengthen each other and build community, build character, create diversity. And it's just, it can be beautiful. And I think we have that balance at the University of Oregon, and I'm proud of it.
From an overall perspective as the president at Oregon, how does college life unfold in the fall term? And is there an advantage that you're a quarter school instead of a semester school? Does that buy you any advantage?
It buys us some advantages. It creates some risks, right? We have no idea where the virus is going. We have a longer period to see where we're going. And, you know, flu season begins at a certain point. But the advantage right now is we can watch what's happening at other universities, which are opening right now, learn from them and see what works, what doesn't work, and then we can pivot. I mean, the key thing about our current situation is if you are a president who doesn't like uncertainty, this is a living hell right now. On the other hand, if you can deal with uncertainty and be able to pivot, which we're going to be able to do, I have a great team here. The faculty is terrific. Our students are game. And, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to start out where we are, which is, you know, we're planning on having a significant amount of classes available in person. We're opening up our residence halls. We're going to reduce the density. We're going to have masks, mandatory masks. We're going to have testing. We're going to have social distancing. And then if we see that things are going in a direction that we don't like, we're going to change on a dime. And people know that. And, people who don't like uncertainty are not going to love this. But, again, this is the world that we're in. And you got to play, you have to play the cards that you've been dealt.
Michael Schill is with us. He is the chair of the Pac-12's CEO group and the president of the University of Oregon. The SEC and Big 12 talking about continuing. It's causing a lot of debate among fans. Why wouldn't that work for the Pac-12?
Why wouldn't what work for the Pac-12?
Trying to play this season, is it simply come down to what you said earlier about testing and the EKGs and all that just not being something that you could guarantee that you could get done?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the trend lines are all in the wrong direction, and the risks and the uncertainty are too great. And, you know, what we're not going to do, we just don't think we want to put our students in peril. We certainly don't want to begin contact training now until we fully understand what the risks are, or at least as best as we can understand what the risks are and take whatever steps are prudent. We'll never be, and one thing to understand, whether it's the spring, whether it's next year, we're never going to be able to reduce risk to zero. That we have to understand that everybody gets that, although some people don't fully appreciate it. There are going to be risks. But the point is right now, we don't even know the ranges of the risks. And so at that point, it would just be the president's felt that it would be irresponsible to move forward and cruel to move forward where people were wondering what was going to happen to them. I mean, again, this is something that is, our coaches, our students, some level of certainty was required, and we made that decision. Rather, we could have just gone on. We talked about it, right? We said maybe we should wait a couple weeks, maybe we should wait a couple weeks, maybe wait a month, look in at that point. Or we could just say, look, this, we see where this is going. We're not going to be at the point where it's going to be tolerable, the amount of risk that we'd have to take. And let's just create some certainty for everybody and really focus on the spring and where there's a better likelihood of success.
Before I cut you loose, you know, I watched the women's basketball senior day. You're on the court sort of thanking the players for their contribution. And in football, you did the same thing. Kelly Graves told us that, you know, you came to him and said, what can I do today? And you know, why is that important to you to kind of thank the athletes for their time and be part of that day?
Because it's a super important part of our community. And I will say, I got to hug everybody. That may be the last time I get to hug people in a while. It's thanking them for being part of our university, and it's living the life of the university, which includes athletics. I mean, and one of the things that I found is, and I found this from really my first weeks here at the University of Oregon, is that our alumni really want the president to be part of the culture of the school. And that's a culture that embraces the very, very best in athletics and the very best in academics. And we want to blend those two things together to create a wonderful and unique college experience. And the president needs to be part of that. The president needs to embody the values of the institution. And the values of this institution are that both great academics and great athletics can work with each other, can be symbiotic, and can lead to just a very, very special, unique experience. And I see it with our students that we admit. I see it with the kids, you know, when I walk through our student union. They love it here at the University of Oregon. They appreciate that we have this terrific mix. And next year, as we start the school year in September, we are going to try to deliver that mix as best we can, even though certain things won't be present, like in-person football games in the fall. Hopefully, the spring will be able to.
Love to see you at the stadium in the spring. I really appreciate you making time. And, you know, the show airs statewide, so you're talking to the entire state of Oregon and people beyond that. So thank you for giving us your time, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
And, John, thank you. I read your column regularly, and I'm a big fan.
I appreciate you. Thank you, President Michael Schill. Bye. University of Oregon. I want your reaction to that. 503-417-7575. Tomorrow's show, Rob Mullins, Oregon Athletic Director, and Nick Ford, Utah Utes, outspoken offensive lineman. We'll be right back with more of the ball.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.